So just so everyone is aware, by the new public law, we do need to record these meetings. So if you don't wish your name to be in that recording, go ahead and change your ID to something else for us, please, because we are keeping recordings as things. So, all right, it is, let's see, 6:40. I'm going to go ahead and call us to order. We need to do a roll call of attendance. Nell is present. Cello?
You're muted, Cello.
Oh, I was using my headset. Present.
Stacy?
Present.
Jim?
Present.
Abe?
Here.
Devin?
Present.
Dimitri?
Present.
Joanne?
Present.
And do we have Dan yet?
Nope.
Doesn't look like it. Okay. I know he's trying to get in because he's texting me that he's working on getting in the right one. All right. So Joanne, those of us that are here, can you throw us over in a breakout room?
Yes.
So actually, before we do that,
I was just going to ask if we need to make a motion to go into closed session to do that. Okay.
Oh, probably, yes. And so the public that's here right now, we are going to be in closed session for a while. And then we will come back and join you guys again for open session. So we need a motion to enter a motion to enter closed session related to 5 ILCS 120-2C3. The selection of a person to fill a public body is defined in this act, including a vacancy in a public body when the public body is given power to appoint under law or ordinance, or the discipline, performance, or removal of the occupant of a public office when the public body is given power to remove the occupant under law or ordinance. As well as we need a motion to enter closed session for discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C11, litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting. So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, so Jim with the first, Stacy with a second. We've got a roll call it. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Having a blended.
One mother told
Jim.
Me.
Yeah. Jim, yes.
Abe,
yes.
Devin?
Devin, yes.
Dimitri?
Dimitri, yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
He is stuck in the waiting room because I'm about to start the breakout room.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Ready?
The board has just exited closed session. I would like to see if we have a motion to amend our agenda so that the board will resume closed session after the rest of our open session meeting has happened. As well as so that because we aren't allowing public comment on this, we're gonna move on to our main thing that I will we'll do them as two separate votes. So first, is there a motion that to end closed session at this point and have the board return to closed session after our open agenda meeting items are discussed?
So moved.
Second.
All right, we need a roll call vote. Nell's a yes.
Fellows a yes.
Stacy?
Yep.
Jim?
You're muted, Jim.
Sorry, yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Dan, yes.
Okay, so that has passed. Additionally, if we have members here that were not present at the beginning of the meeting, I'd like to remind everybody that these meetings are being recorded. So if you do not wish for your name to appear in that recording or your face to appear in that recording, please make sure you have your Zoom settings done appropriately for that. So I'd also like to make a motion to amend our agenda, moving on to our open meeting agenda, that we will move our public comment to the beginning of that meeting before we do our discussion agenda.
So moved.
That's Dimitri.
Dan, second.
All right, roll call vote. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Cello, you're muted.
I'm yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan,
yes.
All right. So I think we need to technically adjourn this meeting and start the next one. So do we have an emotion to adjourn our first meeting?
So moved.
All right. Joanne's a first. Who was our second?
Jim.
Jim is our second. Roll call vote. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan,
yes.
All right, that meeting has been adjourned at 7:42 p.m. At 7:42 p.m., I'm also going to call to order our new meeting with a roll call vote. Nell's a yes, Cello, or Nell's a present, Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
I'm here.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Here.
Dimitri?
Present.
Joanne?
Present.
Dan?
Yes.
All right. Joanne, can you check? Have we let everybody in from the waiting room if there's anybody still in the waiting room?
Yeah, Jeff did all that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we need a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
So moved.
All right. That's Jim with, Stacy with a first, Jim with a second. Roll call. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Dan, yes.
All right. I don't think we could have done any more roll call votes in order there. All right. So we are going to move on to public comment. As per our rules, an individual may make a maximum of 4 minutes of public comment. And we will allow a maximum of 20 minutes total of public comment at this point in the meeting. So as usual, if members of the board can help me look and see if there are people asking to make public comment. If you would like to make public comment, you can send a message in the chat. If you raise your hand, we will try and search the screens and see if we can find anyone who's looking to make comment. I am not seeing anyone. Is any other member of the board seeing anyone?
Yes.
Hey, Nell?
Yes.
Sorry, this is Sue. I'm having trouble finding the chat. I was on Jeff's chat, but he's not on it anymore.
Okay. Would you like to make a public comment? I can see we have a couple of people in the chat that are also saying they'd like to do comment.
I would.
Go for it, Sue.
Okay, thanks. So I guess I just wanted to start by saying thanks to everybody. I know it's not an easy time to be a school board member or school administrator, so I appreciate all the work everyone's doing. I think that per the board resolution, there doesn't have to be any discussion or approval or anything in order to move between phases of the return to school plan. But I haven't seen any communication come out saying that we're gearing up to return in person. So I just wanted to ask that the administration and board kind of jointly make it a priority to assess all the new data and information that's available now that, you know, some schools are back and we can see what happened there. We know more about the virus and all that, just to make sure that we're making the right decision and then, you know, ideally communicate back to the community kind of where we stand with bringing students back to campus or not, kind of whatever that decision is, because it didn't look like it was on the agenda. So that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. I see in the chat that there's a question if this is the only opportunity for public comment. There will be another opportunity for public comment after our consent agenda later in the evening. It looks like Dana Lorenz is also asking to give public comment. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to share my appreciation for the PCCS teachers and aides and staff. as we've ventured into e-learning for the fall, we've come a really great distance from where we were in the e-learning experience in the spring. And I just want to, again, express my gratitude towards Jessica Lustenow, and in particular towards my children's classroom teachers, aides, and IEP teams, because they have been more than accommodating. And words really can't express, particularly with my child's resource teacher, who has found ways to engage with a student who has clearly said that they want nothing to do with a screen. But unfortunately, I do want to share that this there still is a gap that can't be filled virtually. Children that qualify for Title I, special education, ESL, they really need more academic or more than just academic accommodations from their school community. They also need social and emotional engagements that truthfully really only comes from an organic in-person experience. And that gap really is becoming more and more evident between these students and their peers. It's just simply widening in the e-learning environment. So I know that PCCS has always taken the argument that we are a community that has flexibility in our strategic planning. But I think it's time to kind of reassess our unique position. So I am here once again, as I have done before, pleading to the board to send these children specifically that qualify for Title I, special education, and ESL to return back to school, even if it's in a hybrid model. Other school districts in the state, around the nation, they're finding ways to successfully integrate students back in the classroom. One example that comes to mind is District 54 in Schaumburg. They have a similar demographic, if not greater, of at-risk children. I just don't see how that the school who had devised a plan in the summer can't implement some of these accommodations for our small population of kids. And with feeling compassion towards that argument, having a child of that in my own, I also want to plead as a member of the PCCS community that not only are we in a situation where we can help these children, but also reframe in a selfish approach with the latest litigation against Prairie Crossing and the accusations that PCCS has not provided enough resources specifically to recruit and retain such at-risk children. Here's a platform that PCCS can do more to help these kids, particularly minding a gap that Fremont and Woodland hasn't found. So again, I appreciate everyone's efforts, but I think we are just missing the mark for these specific children. And it's heartening to see that we can't come together as a community to find an outlet for them to have some type of in-person learning. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else? Oh, do I have more messages in the chat? Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? All right, I'm gonna keep this moving then. Does any other member of the board see anything that I'm missing?
I don't see any hands up.
Okay.
No.
All right, so I'm gonna move us on then to our discussion agenda. Sorry, I'm switching screens. So the first thing on there is the fiscal year 20 audited financial statements. We had a presentation related from the auditors. Jeff, do you want to make any comments on that?
I'll entertain as many questions as I can. The overall assessment is the school is financially sound. We had a good unqualified audit is what the technical term is, and they found no material deficiencies is what is exactly what we're looking for. Kudos to the Prairie Crossing team and Kim DeSalvo for making that a reality again this year. And I'll open it up to questions rather than trying to guess what you're thinking.
No, absolutely. I know several members of the board, we were present at the Finance Committee when this was presented in more detail, but are there questions that people have now either for Jeff or for the members of the board that were present amongst the board?
I do have a small update in the meantime. Mm-hmm. I heard from the auditors today because he realized we were having our board meeting tonight. If you will remember, in the finance committee, he had mentioned, Steve had mentioned that he was going to do a peer review amongst other Clifton Larson Allen folks. He has done so, and they had found nothing different. Okay. So now it's just the finalization of the paperwork, the draft that you all have seen. So.
All right. Is everyone on the board good with that then? Yeah. Seeing everybody shaking heads. Yes.
Well, it's what we want to hear. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to move us down then onto legal bills. Are there questions from any member of the board about our legal bills that were contained here? Looks like we had a couple months worth included.
None from me.
Yeah. Everybody's good. They seemed pretty straightforward to me. Okay. All right, moving us next is the fiscal year 21 recast budget. Again, this was something that those of us in the finance committee looked at then that were at that meeting. Are there questions that anybody else has on the board about this? I guess one question, Jeff, and I believe you addressed this in finance, but just so all the members of the board here, the raises for the staff were finalized at this point, and that's reflected in our in our salary totals.
Yeah, the raises that there are raises built into the recast of the budget, including the CBA negotiated rate.
Okay. And have those actually been awarded already, or are they still pending, waiting everything to kind of finalize and play out?
They'll await the approval of this budget. So those raises will take effect on the first payroll in October. I believe it's, October 2nd or whatever it is, but it's the next payroll cycle.
Okay. Thank you. All right, everybody else is good. Okay, I'm going to keep moving us on then. Jim, parent board election update is next.
Sure. I think as everyone's familiar, the ballots went out last Monday, the 21st. So we have had a fairly good response rate. Definitely we still need to get more people out there and voting and encouraging people to get their ballots in. Deadline will be this coming Monday, October 5th. And just as a reminder, we need to have at least 30% of the eligible population get their ballots in. So we had 290 ballots go out. So we need to get 30% of those back in the affirmative for the election to be valid. Any questions from anyone?
Jim, what's our percentage so far?
I don't know if we can disclose that.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
I don't
think we can. Okay. Sorry.
Good question, though.
I don't know that answer, Joanne. I'm not on that committee. I just wanted to jump in for Jim real quick.
Nope. It's good.
Any other questions
that I can answer?
Nope.
When does the voting close?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff, what was the question?
When does the voting window close?
3 p.m. on October 5th.
Okay.
So this coming Monday.
All right, so administration will put out weekly Friday piece. We'll put out one last, another reminder.
Okay, appreciate that. And then Heather did put a reminder in the parent Facebook page for PCCS, so. I imagine she'll probably put another reminder in there as well, just to get people thinking.
And just remember, as members of the board, we can certainly encourage people to vote in general. We can't endorse or not endorse a candidate, but we can be reminding people, hey, make sure, did you get your ballot? Did you cast your vote? All right, are we all good there? All right, so moving on to remote learning update. I'm going to let you start, Jeff. I imagine there's probably questions from the board and things as well, but can you give us an update on things?
So a couple of meetings ago, we said this would be a standing item on the board agendas. We're still currently in phase 4A. We plan on remaining in phase 4A until we see some of the trends that change. I'll share that in July 27th, when we made the decision to go to remote learning, the infection rate was 4.6% in Lake County. As of Sunday on the 27th, it was 4.6%. And so what our, as we track and we look at a lot of data, including the trending, including the numbers in Lake County, what we're seeing is we're not seeing anything that's falling below the green level, which is 3.0. We'd like to see some consistency in that trend for more than just a day or so. I think the last time we were in the green was somewhere around May. And so we want to just make sure that we maintain the safety of our students and the safety of our staff and our community. And so, you know, I can say with a straight face, many, if not all of the staff that I've talked to at Prairie Crossing, nobody wants those children to return sooner than the people that are teaching them and the people that are administering for them. And we will do so. We'll continue to have updates and we'll do so when we can safely and responsibly. And it would not surprise me whether, you know, we can continue to talk about this and updates, but it would not surprise me to see us in phase 4A through the remainder of the first trimester, which is somewhere in the first week of November. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but so more to come. We'll continue to monitor and we'll continue to do what we feel is best for everyone.
So I'll open it up to the board for questions for Jeff regarding this.
Jeff, is one of the things that we're monitoring the Woodland plan to potentially return to school, given that there are some families that have students in both Prairie Crossing and Woodland. I will opine that I found the Woodland plan to be a whole lot of nothing and to be incredibly unconvincing as to give any reason to think that students should be back in school despite Woodland's now charged to do that. But I'm just wondering if how we are coordinating with our two feeder districts and how we're following what they're doing and how that affects our planning.
Yeah, thank you, Stacy. It's a good question. Let me share that we're monitoring what our surrounding districts are doing, not necessarily following at all. It's very similar to a snow day or an inclement weather day where one school may close, but another may stay open. In this aspect, you know, comparing a 5,500 plus student school with many buildings on many campuses versus our limitations in space here aren't apples to apples all the time.
So absolutely not.
Yeah. So while we're monitoring their decisions and while we're looking at other schools, not just theirs, but other schools opening plans or potential hybrid plans, remember in July, we talked a little bit about curriculum and the percentage of time we felt that the curriculum would be being addressed. And we came to the analysis that a hybrid or an in-person school day would result in about 40 to 50% roughly on average, covering about 40 to 50% of the curriculum. And then we did that same analysis when we were looking at just staying truly remote, which is where we ended up. And our analysis showed that we were about 80 to 100% of the curriculum. And so it's not just physical space. It's not just those trends. It's also being able to bring the children back to the campus, not only for their needs, but also for the effectiveness of our learning and our growth. So it's all of those things and a few more extenuous circumstances that we're evaluating almost on a daily basis.
Thanks, Jeff.
So Jeff, piggybacking on that, are we doing any kind of monitoring or surveying of the teachers or anything to see where are we at curriculum-wise in this remote learning as compared to where the teachers typically would be with their learning if we were in a typical in-person year?
Yeah, good question. And unfortunately, that's part of our agenda for our in-service days on October 8th and 9th, half a day on the 8th and a day on the 9th to have some of those deeper discussions. So I personally can't give you that answer tonight, but I can give that answer out soon.
Go ahead, Dimitri. I was just going to say, I would love to have that answer. I think it would be helpful as we're determining things, you know, just to see how we're comparing. Because I know, like you said, that that was a factor in being remote is where can we maximize the amount of learning our kids are having.
Right. What piggybacking on what Mel just said, you know, I may suggest that it might not be as important covering all the curriculum as it might be is more important making sure we're covering all the skill set. You know, like if you can't get through every single book, let's say, but you're covering all the skills that are needed to continue from one trimester to the next trimester, I think that's kind of important. So if we're doing that, and it seems like, you know, they currently are, then I think we'd be okay. I wanted to throw out to you, Jeff, has there been really some good thought about bringing those special need kids in, the 504 plans, IEPs, even like kindergarten, bringing them in a little bit just so that they can get more of an in-person experience than what they're having currently e-learning. It's got to be very difficult, I would imagine, for those groups.
We evaluate that almost on a daily basis. And you know, first and foremost is the safety of our kids and our staff. And while we want to have kids back and while we want to provide those additional services for those that need them, we really are not. I'm going to strongly suggest we do not do that until we're ready and feel it's safe enough to do that. And so, yes, to answer your question, when I talk about curriculum, I'm talking about the full learning spectrum, you know, which includes skill sets. And on the flip side of that, when, you know, I hear everybody loud and clear when they talk about wanting to have students with needs and others, and I hear that they want the social aspect of school and the socialization aspect of school, and so do we. Make no mistake about it. This is more work for our teachers. It's more work for our staff. It's harder work than anybody has ever learned or have done in the past. Every teacher here, even those with teen, you know, in the teens of experience, comment that this is like their first day of teaching. So we get all that, but we're going to do it slow and steady and smart. And when it's safe to do so, I'll be the first one holding the door open.
Jeff, I just wanted to comment to you on your last statement that I completely commend you on that path. I am a firm believer. I've seen in my area schools open and close and open and close. I don't see that as a great routine for children, and I don't see that as a great routine for curriculum for teachers, bouncing back and forth like ping pong balls. It's and as an educator, the kids are going to get a great experience from having a plan and sticking to it and not reevaluating in 1 week, in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks. You know, I commend you on your path.
Thank you.
So Jeff, I guess I'm wondering also, first, I also do want to say that I thank you to all the staff and the teachers and the administration for all the hard work that you guys are doing. I think our teachers are doing an amazing job trying to really maximize the learning that the kids are having, and it's a really hard task. So I do want to go on the record of saying thank you for that. I also feel like at the previous, maybe two board meetings ago, we heard a lot of concerns from families just about the effects overall, increased needs that families were having as a result of COVID and all of the changes to the school environment and remote learning and things. And I think the administration did a really nice job of trying to work with the PSO and saying like, hey, can we make this mini grant thing? Like, what can we do to try and address those needs? I would, yeah, I think that was really, really wonderful. I'm really hearing now, both in this meeting, but also communication that I'm getting from parents via emails, via phone calls, via run-ins with them, about that strong need of feeling like we're just not quite on the mark yet. Can we do something for that social emotional piece? And even if it's not an immediate, those kids are back in school, I might just challenge, are there things that we can keep brainstorming and keep trying to come up with? How creative can we be? We're Prairie Crossing, we can get pretty creative. You know, can we keep trying to see, are there things we can do? And certainly if there's things the board can do to support that, I know I'm willing to help. I imagine other members are as well. So I don't know that that's really something to answer, but just kind of a encouragement.
Think about it, that there is not a day that goes by that we don't talk about this and push envelopes and what can we do, what can't we do. So please don't think that we're sitting back on our hands going, well, this is good enough, because it's never good and it's never enough. So we're going to keep pushing.
Thank you. Are there questions from other members of the board? Comments?
Jeff, I know you said on the 8th and 9th, you're going to be talking with the staff and gauging, you know, how they feel they're doing from a learning standpoint. Is there also just a check-in, or has there been a check-in just on how they are doing and their well-being through all of this, you know, and just how they're coping?
Yeah, you know, kudos to Tony Zamir that in our chats, he's been sharing that he's been checking in. Same with Jessica Lustenow, checking in with all the staff on a regular basis to just take that, I guess, pun intended, take their temperature and make sure that staff too are getting the resources and the breaks they need and so on. So yeah, we are doing that as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Because I also want to just say it, the staff has been working amazingly hard and is doing a fantastic job at showing that they care, not just saying it. So yes. Kudos to everybody.
Thank you.
Can I piggyback on the same topic? I know you said a communication's coming Friday, so this may be in there, but I'm just curious, is there plans to do a check-in with our parents also, our other partner in this education, to see how our parents are doing with things?
I suppose I think that there has been a little bit of reach out, especially with things like the mini grants, to find out if people need assistance. We still offer the assistance portion of the process, whether it be technology or otherwise. I have to think about logistically. It's a great idea. I just don't know. We have to figure out how we're going to implement it more so than how are we doing, how are you doing. It's an interesting survey, so to speak, if we were to put together a survey. I'd be open to hear suggestions offline after the meeting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just for the minutes, Jim, Devin's laptop died. She'll be back on in just a minute. She's getting a power cord hooked up. Other questions or comments from the board?
I guess so. I would just echo the good wishes towards everyone on the staff. And you know, the story broke last week that two fifth graders in Lake Bluff came back positive for COVID and they shut down. So that goes back to that ping pong comment. I really do feel we're doing the right thing. I know it's very hard out there for parents who work, but I want to just echo those comments that commended Jeff and the staff to make safety the priority.
So just, Jeff, I do have one more question. This is one that actually has come to me from parents. I've been approached by parents, and I honestly don't know the answer to this question, but I'm wondering if you can answer it for us. Some of the parents have said that they're hearing that specials teachers as part of the remote learning plan are going to be starting to teach some of the core subjects. Is this?
No, well, let me rephrase that. So the specialist teachers have a schedule where not every minute of the day they're working with classes during the, you know, some meet a couple times a week, some more, some less. And so what the specials are offered and what they're doing is they're assisting the classrooms to even lower the student ratio, student instruction ratio even more so than it is now. So they're lending help and lending hands to help in whatever capacity the teacher and the IA need at that point. So they're assisting for sure, yes, but they're not necessarily teaching the core curriculum by themselves.
Thank you. Other questions or comments from anyone? All right, last chance, members of the board. Okay, so I'm gonna keep moving us on to committee updates then. Jim, I think we had the parent election update, so I don't think there's anything more from the election committee. You in agreement with that?
Yep, yeah, we gave our response a little bit earlier.
Okay. Finance committee, Stacy, I know the audit was a big part of that. Anything else you wanna add from finance?
Yeah, the audit and the recast budget would be the two big things. We already discussed those. So that's all I've got. Thanks to you and Jeff for pitching in last week when I was out of commission.
No problem. Not really. Those kudos go to Jeff. He did the work.
Hope you're feeling better.
Slowly but surely.
All right. Devin / Abe, as the academic committee is in transition between the leaders there, any update from you guys? I know you haven't met since we've last had a board meeting.
Right, Devin and I played half a phone tag of text, so I haven't followed up with Devin yet, but I'll be coordinating with Devin and Jeff.
Okay. Governance, you guys haven't met either, Cello, but is there any updates that you wanna do since our last meeting?
The only update is that our next scheduled meeting will be in November.
Okay, perfect. And then outreach, Jeff, any updates you wanna give us?
We did have an outreach meeting, and you know, for the most part, things were great. We talked a lot about the mini grants and got some good feedback from the committee members on things to include, process to go through. So most of it was spent on the outreach on the aspect of helping our community rather than reaching out to the broader community at this point, because we can't really host events and things like that yet. So a lot of the discussion was around the mini grants.
Okay. Any questions about that from anybody? All right. Jeff, when you and I spoke to prepare for this meeting, we had also talked that perhaps during our committee update meeting, you might be able to give us a brief update about your goals and things.
Yeah, they change on a daily basis, but So the idea of the goals that I've that you all looked at and reviewed and approved last year are many of the same goals that I'll be carrying on through the beginning through this year as well. Put a COVID goal in there somewhere in order to transition safely back into school. But primarily my efforts this year are going to be continuing to manage and oversee the construction of the barn, you know, the lower barn for classroom space and the entrance to the Kennicott building. And on top of that, continue to focus on outreach and at-risk students. And now, unfortunately, spend a good amount of time helping the Attorney General and our attorneys to thwart another attempt to try to interfere with our operations. So those are the overarching goals. I can bring them back to you in October just to review some of them. But a lot of them are stretch goals, so they're going to be more than 1 year. Very, very rarely with me anyway, are you going to see a goal that's only going to last for 12 months. So those are the main focuses of the opportunity, as well as the table stakes of being the director.
Okay.
And so I think that's where we stand right now.
Thank you. Do members of the board have questions about that for Jeff tonight? Are people okay with waiting till October to hear more?
So we'll get that with part of our, with our packet before the October meeting, just so we have a chance to look it over.
Sure, we can.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments there from the board? Sorry, guys, I've messed my screen up. All right. So the next up is we need to do a biannual review of closed session minutes. Can everybody still hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I just hit a button. I lost my pictures of you guys. Okay. So this is referring to our closed session minutes. We did this only a few months ago because I was late in doing it in March, but typically every March and every September, twice a year, we have to review that our closed session minutes should stay in closed status. I don't see any reason why any of our closed session minutes should become open at this point. I think we're really good about only being in closed session when we need to be. But does anyone have any questions about that or discussions about that?
No questions here, no.
Nope. Everybody's good?
Nothing from me.
Okay. Sorry, I got my pictures back. We're good now. All right, along with that, we will also, I'll take action on it, but we are also able to delete any of our audio recordings of closed session minutes that are over 18 months old. So in this case, that would be anything that is previous to March of 2019. Is there any discussion we need to have around that at this point? Okay, everybody's good. All right, so moving us on to the board goals update. This is a standing agenda item. I would like to remind all the members of the board that December is coming up quickly. We have to have our 4 hours of training done with the state. Not just done, we have to have the completion certificates and everything turned into Janet so that it's official and on the record that it's done. So I know most of us have not done that yet. Please remember to finish up those hours and get that done. Does everybody have the information? I know I sent it out to a few of you guys this month. Is anybody still needing that?
Could you resend it to me now?
Yes. Yep. If you don't get it from me after the meeting, ping me and remind me.
And Nell, you said something about sending the certificates to Janet. So do we just need to print them out, scan them, and then send it to her?
If you can, I think that is great. That way she's got it in an electronic file and she's got to keep track of all that for the state.
Okay. And for some reason, I thought like as you completed the courses, it automatically kept a running log that could be checked at any time. Okay.
My understanding is no. And I know Janet has asked me to make sure that we all get her the things. Okay. Kudos, Dimitri has done it. Maybe other people have as well. He's the only one I know.
Go, Dimitri.
Yeah, well done.
The teacher in me, I got to get it done.
The teacher, right? The courses are not put on by the Illinois State Board, so they have no idea that you guys are even doing this.
Yeah. Okay.
I will say I am I'm mostly done with them. I actually have found them to be good.
Yeah, I have too. The ones that I've done. So I didn't think about like printing out the certificate though.
Yeah. So I do think it's a good use of time. Helpful. All right. Any other board goals updates that people want to discuss? I know we have not had that governance meeting yet. It's in November. So there'll be quite a bit of discussion about it then and hopefully brought back to the board. But anything else that people have now? All right, I'm going to keep moving us on then to the consent agenda. We had the leadership team report. There's a letter from Kim in there. Any questions about that people have? I'm getting back to the right thing. Any questions about the financial statements? I mean, I think we've already discussed that. Everybody good? All right, there are at the end, I believe, of the packet are the minutes from last month. Does anybody have corrections for Jim with those? Sorry, I'm looking away from my screen to look at the packet.
No.
Jim, just a nitpicky thing where it says absent, you have none, and then you also have Devin Mann as absent. You might just want to take away all the none.
Thanks, Mel.
Yeah.
I spelled everyone's name right this time, though.
Good. Nicely done.
Thanks, Joanne.
You might have, for our public comment, hold on. Where am I getting? So just because I know she's in attendance again, Kristen Boss has one S at the end of it for our public in attendance, but otherwise, okay, they look good to me. Anybody else have any comments on those? All right, so do we have a motion to approve the open session minutes from the board meeting on Tuesday, August 25th?
So moved.
Okay.
Cello, and the second was?
Abe,
thank you. All right, roll call vote. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, we need a motion to accept the reports on the consent agenda.
Dan, so moved.
And a second. Dimitri, roll call vote. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right. Jeff, are we needing to go into the closed session to discuss new employees?
Nothing. I don't have anything to add unless you have questions on the four people, that the one resignation, the three hires. If you have any questions that I can answer generically in open session, great. Otherwise, we would need to go into closed session.
Okay. Does any member of the board have a question, or would any member of the board like us to go into closed session? You're welcome to make a motion to do so.
I have no questions.
I think are we all good? All right, and I don't believe, Jim, am I correct? I don't believe we have any closed session minutes we have to approve this month.
Correct, yeah. We haven't gone to closed session the last few, few cycles.
Yeah, so I think we're caught up. The only reason I put that on the agenda is if you wanted to further the discussion about releasing, redacting, keeping closed, or recordings.
Okay, yeah. Right. So I think we're good there. All right, so we are going to return to public comment at this point. So again, if there is anyone who has public comment, please send us a message in the chat, give us a wave in your video so that we know you'd like to make public comment.
Kristen Boss, no.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Thanks, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak again at the monthly board meeting. And I do want to echo the comments of the board. I do feel like the remote learning has been, exceeding expectations this year. It's much, much improved over the spring. So thanks to all the teachers, particularly Ms. McNally. I want to call her out. She's done an amazing job. And I'm sure she's just one of many at the school that's done that. I do want to challenge some of the earlier discussion, and I really want to implore the board to listen to the parents. I feel like you guys aren't hearing the parents and what the parents are needing from the school board right now. The first challenge that I'd like to raise is that we're learning at an actual 80 to 100% in a remote environment, the same as what we would be doing in school, and it's simply not true. If you were to join any of the Zoom meetings, you will see the teachers are doing their absolute best, but the kids are not learning as much as they would be in school. The kids are going to be at a deficit again this fall, over and above what they were at in the spring. And I want to particularly echo the comments that Dana made earlier. The kids that have 504 plans and other plans where they need special accommodations, if you talk to any of those teachers, they are exhausted at the end of the day, and it's taking 10 to 20 times as much time and effort to get through to those children every single day. This is not sustainable. The second challenge I want to offer is the green 3% standard that was talked about earlier. I'd like to know where that standard came from. I've not seen that standard to date. I've not seen any other school districts that are successfully returning to a hybrid model, such as Carmel, who has been hybrid this entire school year. Christian Life School has been fully in person the entire school year. Milburn has successfully started to bring children back into the school. There will be COVID cases. There absolutely will be COVID cases, but the way that the school is handling those cases has been well thought out, planful. The children have been isolated. The students impacted have been small, and the school has been able to function. I feel like Prairie Crossing is stuck. I feel like we can't move forward. I feel like we're scared, and I feel like we're not being the leaders that we can be at Prairie Crossing. Another challenge is I would like to echo the comments that were made by the board to say, how can we start to bring kids back? Warren, as one of the board members know, Warren has done a great job starting up clubs, doing sports in a club setting. There are things that we could be doing to start to get these kids back that are allowable within the guidelines that have been set forth. So why aren't we doing any of those things? I think those need to be considered. And lastly, I just would like to say we need to be in 4B soon. The first trimester maybe type of a timeline is just, it's not satisfactory for parents. So I just would like the board to really hear from the parents in terms of what we need. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other members of the public that would like to address the board at this point? Virginia, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, I would like to go from what I just hear. If we are at 80 to 100% learning, I'm very worried to what they did learn in school, because I do not see in some of the subjects a lot of learning going on. Also, I think a lot of frustration is coming from the lack of communication. We were supposed to have updates, and we didn't have any updates in all this time. We were supposed to have survey where we could address our concern. There was never any survey. In addition to the remote learning, there is now a question of lawsuit. We discover it through Woodland. We discover it through social media. We discover it from local newspaper, but we have never been informed of the content of the lawsuit, of what is planned to be done, what was done between the previous lawsuit and this one. So in general, that is remote learning or lawsuit, there is a total lack of communication. It could be on me, perhaps I do miss all of the email, but it seems for what I hear that it's a general concern and frustration from a lot of the families. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jessica's hand up.
Jeff does.
Mm-hmm. Would you like me to address the comment around the lawsuit briefly?
If you're able to, that would be fine. Yes, please do so.
Yeah, thank you for your public comment. I just wanted to share, literally today at 10:30, I was handed the lawsuit or the action that Woodland is taking against Prairie Crossing. So there hasn't been a communication because there was nothing to communicate. And I'm not making excuses. The only thing that we saw prior to this morning was a community release that was sent to our attention around the Woodland, to the Woodland parents. So there was no meter on the bone. And so our attorneys are involved as of today. And we had opened the envelope as of today. So there will be comments those that can be said coming out as soon as we have a little better understanding of where we're at.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there anyone else that would like to make public comment? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone else. Anyone else on the board? Am I missing anyone?
Leanne Domanski just noted in the
thank
chat.
Thank you. Go ahead, Leanne.
Hi, sorry, I was just trying to get my settings right. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. I just am curious about the percentages where we're looking to get into that green area to get back to school, which would be, I believe you said 3%. And right now we're at 4.6% to 4.8%. Is there any breakdown that can be seen? Like how much of that is coming from the military base? Because Lake County has a lot of, you know, various areas and populations, and or what areas are coming from colleges where there's groups of people that are maybe not following the standards versus what are the percentages in schools that have already started hybrid learning or reopening with all the safety precautions and following the guidelines? Is there any consideration with the differentiation, or is it just the one number that we're looking at?
So the board liaison isn't able to respond to questions during public question. I don't know, Jeff, is there anything you'd like to say or not?
The information, primarily the information, only drills it down so far with the overall trends, only drill it down so far to be countywide. There are maps that have different levels of darkness and lightness on them about around zip codes, but even that doesn't really represent as well. So there's a lot of information out there, and it's not just one graph that we're looking at or one statistic we're looking at. And you're right, there's many, many influences that could skew a whole county based on one zip code or one military base or whatever. It's more than that, but the data that we look at doesn't necessarily drill down to that level of detail. I'm sure it's there, but that's not necessarily what we're only guiding our principals on.
Okay, can I say one more thing? I just also want to make sure that in consideration of everything that we're also thinking about the mental health of the kids. It's a very weird time, and the kids are missing in-person contact from the sense that, you know, for example, my third grader is not a huge fan of Zoom because he feels like he's unheard. And until he feels like he's heard, there's going to be behaviors. And it's just an ongoing struggle. Again, I have a child with an IEP, and there's a whole lot of struggles going on there too. I just hope that, you know, the parents are communicating and letting everyone know that we want our kids to be safe. We want our kids to be healthy. We want our teachers to be safe. And the teachers are, oh my gosh, they are working so hard. And the aides and the resource teachers are absolutely working so hard. But for a lot of the kids, this just isn't very ideal. And I know nobody wants it. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. I don't see any other comments. Anyone else on the board see something?
Dana Lorenz has a comment in the chat.
All right. Go ahead, Dana.
Hi. I understand that the board can't make comment or publicly disclose their position, but I'm curious if Jeff Deegan can maybe give insight and opportunity with understanding where the school will be in this new litigation process, understanding that the Independent Charter Commission has disbanded, and now we're under the governance of ISB.
Let me make sure I'm on. Yep, I'm off mute.
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know whether I pushed that or not. Here's what we know. Looking through the complaint today, it's the same issues that have been raised by and objected to by Woodland since 2013. We're stealing their money. We don't have transportation. We don't have at-risk students. And we have defended ourselves in courts all the way up through the Supreme Court and the appellate court a handful of years ago. We have been challenged at our 2019 renewal from the commission and then ISB, as ISB is the authorizer based on the recommendation of the commission. It's always been that way. Well, it was always that way with the commission. And now ISB is the authorizer themselves. And so they challenged the last renewal as well, where ISB literally put out a statement after months of review that said, no findings on all of Woodland's issues. And so what we're looking at today is we're looking at yet another complaint, same gift, different package, looking at a different route of legal process that they can explore. And so we anticipate, much like before, that these will be not considered valid complaints and have no merit or foundation to them. And that's kind of what we're at on day one, literally, of looking into this. And I guarantee there'll be more updates as we know more.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Is there any one last final comment, or I'm going to move us on? Okay. So I'm moving us on to our action agenda. We need a motion to approve the fiscal year 20 audited financial statements.
So moved.
And second.
All right. Roll call vote. Nell is a yes. Stello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right. I need a motion to approve the legal bills for $3,027, please.
Dan, so moved.
Is there a second? Abe? All right, Nell's a yes. Stello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, I need a motion to approve the fiscal year 21 budget recast.
So moved.
All right, Jim with a first, Stacy with a second, Nell's a yes. Stello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Oops, yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, I need a motion to approve the deletion of all closed session recordings previous to March of 2019.
So moved.
Jim, is there a second?
That was Marcello on the motion.
Oh, sorry, heard the wrong voice.
Dan second.
Dan is a second, all right, thank you. Nell's a yes, Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, hold on. I need a motion to approve. Sorry, I'm needing to scroll down in my packet. The resignation of Matthew Johnson, the hiring of.
Hey, Nell.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and finish out the closed session minutes? You did the destruction, but go ahead and close out the closed session minutes, archiving them.
Oh, thank you. We need a motion to approve that our closed session minutes will all remain in closed session.
So moved.
Second.
So Dimitri's the second and Stello was the first?
Yes.
All right. Nell's a yes, Stello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right. I need to a motion to accept the resignation of Mr. Johnson, the hiring of Mr. Shin, Ms. Samiras, and Ms. Anderson.
So moved.
Second.
Dimitri with the first, Joanne with the second. Nell is a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right. Is there any new business that a member of the board would like to discuss?
I would.
Go for it, Dimitri.
I just wanted to do a quick report. We hosted a golf outing on Sunday. We had 49 players. We approximately are going to raise about $1,500 that will be given to the PSO. It was a good time. It was great. The weather cooperated. The rain held off before we were done, so it was great. I just wanted to thank Kim DeSalvo. She did a great job setting things up for us to kind of make it incredibly easy for everybody to register, pay for all the extra goodies that they donated to the school in terms of mulligans and things like that. I also wanted to thank Lisa Profena and Kelly Melman for their help just as a guide for me to kind of be able to work with Kim DeSalvo to get everything kind of squared away. And then there were some other people like Chris Truax was a really big help for me in the background. And then some other people made some great donations. Connie Barhorst, who's had kids that went to PCCS and lives in the neighborhood. And a few other people like Kelly, Lisa Profena, myself, Chris Truax, made some donations for the prizes that the golfers were able to win on the course. So it was a really great event. We increased, despite the fact that we're doing it in these times, we increased the amount of players. And hopefully next year we can even double it and be able to donate more towards the PSO. So just wanted to give you a report. Approximately $1,500, maybe a little bit over $1,500 we were able to raise on Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah, good event, Dimitri. Thank you for organizing that. I know we all had a pretty good time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Dimitri.
Any other new business? All right, so for the members of the public, the board, as we made in all of those roll call votes at the beginning of the meeting, we're going to be going back into closed session at this point related to 5 ILCS 120 2C3S board elect candidate interviews and 5 ILCS 120 2C11 pending impossible litigation. We will potentially take the only action item we will potentially take after that closed session would be the appointment of board elect positions. So if any member of the public wants to wait around, we will come back into public session for that potential action, but there will be no other business or anything discussed, just so you guys can make your decisions about things. So Joanne, I'm wondering if you're able to put us back in a breakout room.
You bet.
No, do we need to formally motion to go back into
closed session? Yes, we do. Sorry. So I need a motion to go into closed session for discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C3 for the selection of a person to fill a public office, as well as discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C11 related to litigation when action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending for a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting. So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
That Jim was our first there, Stacy our second, Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yep.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, so that motion has passed. We will be returning to closed session. So Joanne, are you able to stop this recording also?
Yes, I'm gonna stop the recording and move us into the breakout room. Stand by.
All right, so we are back in open session. Onto our action agenda item. Under our action agenda item, the appointment of board elected positions. Are there any nominations for the appointment of a board elected position?
I'd like to nominate Nell Annan for another 3 years.
Is there a second?
There is a second.
All right, so I'll give a first to Jim, a second to Stacy. Roll call vote. Nell's an abstain. Cello?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Is there any more nominations for board appointed positions? All right, then we have no further items on our agenda. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
That was a battle for the first. All right, Stacy was first, Joanne's the second. Roll call vote, Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Sorry, I lost my list. Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Jim, sorry, I skipped you. Devin?
Yes.
Dimitri?
No, I want to stay longer with you guys.
We love you too, Dimitri.
We love you too. Yes. I'm you have to say, I say you have to say yes. Okay, Joanne?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, at 10:29, we are officially adjourning.
Thank you for stopping recording.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.